session number 11213, reel 10.
Mr. Lamb, Reel 10. What were your responsibilities, Mr. Lamb, when you were sent to Brigade Headquarters in Tobruk?
Well, as far as I could understand, was we were there mainly for protection for the Brigadier in that area, or something like that. I used to do... we were behind the lines. We weren't right in the front lines, just behind the lines. And there was a big cave there, underground cave, massive. And while I was there, the Brigadier got me to build like a kind of a sandbag position for them outside. And I got the section that we built, a sandbag, we had the sandbags, so we built them like a sandbag protection outside. You know, more or less in the open, where we were in the open, see? And, so I built this for him with the lads, like, and he said he made a good job of it. So that's all.
You went with your section. You weren't alone when you went to Brigade Headquarters.
Paul?
You weren't sent to Brigade Headquarters on your own.
I wasn't actually with a Brigadier. I think I was a section outside.
But that, was that your own section?
But I hadn't a machine gun then, mind. I had a bread gun then. But the British, because the machine gun was already further up. In the front line, no, near the front line, see.
Who was the Brigadier?
No, I just can't remember his name.
So Brigade Headquarters is in a very deep cave, which, in the side of the hill, wherever it was.
Yes, it was just on the outskirts, you know.
Of the town?
Just no, well away from the town. Well away from Tobruk area itself. Well out of Tobruk. Nowhere near to.
And did you stay all of your time with the Brigade Headquarters?
Yes, in the Brigade area. See? And it was once, you know, you had to make your own positions, like dig your own holes around the area, and the men, they would dig themselves, put a bit corrugated iron over the top, and I did myself, I dug a long trench, and about 4 or 5 feet deep, you know, just enough to get in, lying down the stretch, a bit of corrugated iron on the top, covered with sandbags, and, you know, where you could crawl in and get under. And that was where you used to go and just crawl in, have a dot, like, you know, when you could. But we very rarely had our clothes off. The only thing you were allowed to take off was your boots when you went at night time. You always had to be prepared. And I remember one time I was just standing at the top, just watching things, like, you know. And there was a couple of Stukas come over. And they'd mistaken the airfield. And they were quite low when they come down. I just made a point and put the bread gun on a tripod. What we used to do for aircraft. I'm just getting it on, and it's just got over. They're just coming down, and all of a sudden, there seemed to tumble. That wasn't the aerodrome, and they just swooped up again. They did fire a few shots, like. They fired a few shots, and then they lagged the prison, and they just swooped up and away. They were going to a lot of aerodrome, I presume, something like that.
Was there an aerodrome in Tobruk within the perimeter?
A lot of them, I think, was one about that area, Tobruk area. That would be a lot of them that probably went, what we'd have talked to the Kabutu do.
Where did you eat and sleep?
Well,
where did you eat and sleep in Tobruk? Where did you eat and sleep?
In your dugout.
This was the hole that you dug?
Yeah.
So that hole was where you basically lived.
The food used to be brought up by by the Russian truck or not. Just like that. Oh yes, you're a Brit, little chap. You know, we had beards down here.
You didn't shave?
Couldn't shave them all. You had no water to do it.
What was the Russian situation like?
Well, look at our bully biscuit, hard biscuits. Bully and beef, really. Bully stew, you know, corned beef stew and biscuits. Boy, mashed up, bully stew, that lot. McConaughey's, tins of McConaughey's, likes of that. Bread, we didn't know what bread was in the desert. I never seen any bread in the desert. All these square hard biscuits.
So when the supplies came up, there was a certain amount, number of supplies for you and your section, and you shared
yes.
it round and
yes,
cooked
right.
it.
Yes, that's right. No, you just went to the Dixies. Right. The Dixies, that was it.
What about latrines and hygiene?
Well, you just had to go dig a hole in the desert and use that. But you had your wooden, like wooden toilets. You had a, what you call a deep hole down the sand with like a box over. And there was stuff put on, lime or something like that, and they would live on. Just uses that.
Was there much ill health, illness of any kind while you're in Tobruk?
Well, there was a lot of what you call desert sores, breakout in desert sores and like that. Now, this was when it happened to me. I had been quite in good health and all that, and there was once I felt it coming on. I started spewing green, you know. And I said, dear me. And you know, I really felt crabby, you know. I said, I didn't want to report sick, because I knew the Auchinleck push was on then, see, on the way, and I knew if it was successful, we're going to come out. We're going to get relieved. Well, I was bloody bad. Anyway, and I said, I'm not going to be, I didn't want to go to Tobruk Hospital. I knew it would mean me going to the hospital. It was, I know, saying I didn't want the lads to see. So I hung on and hung on and hung on, and I was in the gun position, but moved up into the gun position then, further up, where I had the machine gun.
And was this in the front line, the machine gun?
No, just outside the front line, see?
I see.
Outside of the line, and we moved into this position, gun pit, and one just before stand two, it was the first time it ever happened, just before stand two, you know, I was spewing green and all that, and I was frightened that the lads might say, Corporal, I'm sick, you know, they would notice that I was sick, and I wanted to keep it off them, because we might be going to the hospital. So I went to the gun pit once, and I was just in. I said to Sandy, go and get us in half an hour. I'll look after the place while you're there. I didn't want to see him. So I was there, all right. And then the brigadier tiptoed up. Where's your subject? I could have said he'd wait to wake the lad, but I knew that. I was supposed to have a subject there. I could have been sleeping in the street, and slept, but I didn't. Where's the red? Couldn't send the SL on open to us. Brought put in charge.
You were put on a charge.
Yes, I was put on the open arrest. And I was put on the and then I was got a court martial, due for the court martial like, while we were in Tobruk. While this happened, you always go for the medical officer. So I went to the medical officer just outside. And he, right, lad, down, he told me, and he says, do you feel anything there?
Your stomach.
Because he's subsequent, you know. I said, no, sir. He said, sure. I said, no. Because I knew I didn't want to go into Tobruk Hospital. I bloody did that. No, sir. And, all right, so I had me court martial.
What happened there, to court martial?
No, I didn't know what had happened. Because I knew nothing then about the court martial. Just got my court martial. Now, the push was successful. See? In the meantime, we came out, and I joined my battalion. And we travelled overland
So you never heard anything more about your court
martial? Just let that come. We travelled overland. We travelled by, took to the railhead, and then we travelled over by railhead back to Egypt, Alexandria. And I was in agony. By then, the appendix was starting, coming on heavy. I was in bed down there. And it was Christmas Day when we landed to a place called... We pulled in at Alexandria on the way for tea and that. Coming up with tea and that, I just dumped my spewed straight back. I couldn't keep anything down. I couldn't even pass anything. I was at absolute agony. And I got back, we got put to a place called El Kassassin. That was at the canal in El Cantari, I think. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Boxing Day morning. So I was praying for the valley, you know, and I went up and as soon as the valley come, I went up to Sir Sam Brown, his company stand me, and said, "Oh, scruffy beard down here." I said, "You better get me away to the hospital." He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'm bloody bad." Right. My mate, him I showed you on the phone there, he used to be the company commander's driver, jeep driver. He said, "Well, laddie, run you over to the, run the..." I still had my tapes up, Corporal Lamb. He said, "Run Corporal Lamb, I still had my tapes up. Run Corporal Lamb over to the field hospital." The field hospital about a couple of miles away. I went over, just out of the valley. I went scruffy down here and I went in, like knitting nuts. And I went in, I took my jacket and boots off and I lay on the table. And I knew nothing more and I woke up next morning, in bed. And I woke up and I'd been shaved and everything and the operation done. And the medical officer came around about 9 or 10 o'clock next morning. He came up, he says, "By the way, how long did that start? When did that start?" I said, "It started to Brook there." He said, "Well, why the devil didn't you report sick at Brook?" He said, "Another half an hour and you were dead." He said, "I just caught you in time." He said, "Another half an hour and you were dead. It was on the fight of Burton." He says, "You knew threw your blooming life away." I said, "I didn't want to go and talk. I didn't want to go to Tubbock Hospital, sir." He said, "Well, nearly cost you your life." He said, "Think yourself damn lucky, another half an hour, you're a dead man."
So when you recovered...
So when I come, when I come out, mm-hmm. I still had my tapes up. I went to... while I was in hospital, then, just after I'd had the operation, about 2 or 3 days after, the officer that charged you, the prosecuting officer.
Prosecutor.
He came in. I was lying in bed. He said, "By the way," he says, "Lamy says you've been reduced to the ranks for not having the sentry posted."
So you lost your stripes because you went up to the gun position and told the sentry to move out and while you... took over, and then the brigadier arrived while he was away. Is that it?
The brigadier arrived while he was away, see?
And how did you feel about losing your stripes for that? Were you, well, did you feel unfair?
Well, I did wrong, didn't I? So I took my punishment. That's the way I looked at it. And when I went into the... I still had my tapes on. When I come up, this prosecuting officer, he says, "There's packed of 20 fags for you." I said, "You can keep them, sir. I don't want them. I slung them on them." And
you'd never been given the opportunity to defend yourself?
I made no attempt at myself.
This happened while you were in effect in hospital?
You know, I was that.
Yeah. You'd been in effect tried.
I was that ill and everything. I couldn't be bothered with anything.
But you'd been tried and reduced to the ranks while you were a sick man and hadn't really had a trial at all.
No. So anyway,
did it make you feel angry?
Well, my own fault. That's the way I look. I said, "Oh, I've done it. I've done nothing." I probably could have made an appeal or something like that and looked it over and said, "Right. The proof there that I had to go in the hospital straight away, but as soon as I got back, acute appendicitis."
So when,
I couldn't
when
be bothered. After, so when we went, and then when I came out of hospital, I had to go to a convalescent place, just not far away from it. And I went in there with my two tapes up. And I did guard duty with my two tapes up. So then I had to report to the IBD at Geneva after I come out of convalescence. So I knew I'd been busted, so I took my tapes off, like, and I went reported back to the IBD. When I went back there, the CO, Ticker Yates, he used to be one of our officers, CO there. Well, Lam, what have you been doing? Oh, I said, just a bit of unfortunate luck, eh? But he said, you've been, just go here, right, he said, get yourself away for a week's leave at Alex, anyway, like, you know, 14 days leave. He said, you come out of appendicitis and all this, and he says, you've been having a rough time, so he said, right, take a fortnight leave. No, I went up to Alex, and I went into a hotel, and I'd been riding on the back of a truck, you know, in the wind, to get the train up. And when I got to Alex, I went to the hotel. Next morning, I started spilling green. And I felt groggy, you know, so I had to go to Abbasia Barracks. We both sick. I finished up in Alexandria Hospital, Alexandria, double pneumonia.
So you had quite a spell of illness.
And I was reported an absentee. They didn't know where I was. And one of my mates, that lad on that 402 in China, he'd been in Malta and he happened to come back. And he come to the hospital one day. He come in, he says, this is where you are. I says, oh, do you know? But he says, oh, I've just found out somehow. He says, what's the matter with you? I told him. Him that sent that photo there. He'd just come back from Malta. They'd been mobbed or something. He'd come back from Malta.
So when you came out of hospital again, then what happened to you?
Well, when I come out of hospital, my mate said, he said, you know, you're reported an absentee. Nobody knows where you are. Well, they didn't say. So anyway, when I come out of hospital, I reported back I was going to go back to Geneva and all, but now you had to pass at Gaza there. You had to go through Gaza. Now I stopped at Gaza. I just forget what it was. It was a Re'eshlan camp or something. They were getting prepared for if Jerry come right through Cairo, you know, prepared for the place for the GHC to come to, see? And I was just there and it happened to be Captain Quartermaster Kirk. He was with us in China. Of course, he was archaeomist in there, but he was Captain Quartermaster. He says, hey, Lam, what are you doing here? Oh, I says, I've just come out of hospital there. You know what? He says, where are you off to? Oh, I've got a report back to Geneva. He says, hold on. He said, hold on a minute. He says, you've just come out of hospital, have you? And I told him all about it. He says, you stop here. He says, I want another man here. He said, I'll ring Geneva up. He said, I'll ring Colonel Yates up, ask him if I can keep you. So when he rang Geneva up, he said, I've got Lam here. He's just come back out of hospital. And he said, I could do with another man here. Can I have him? He said, yes, you can come. So I was there.
So you stayed there?
I stayed there, Re'eshlan. And I was there until after Alamea. I didn't go in Alamea. I stayed Re'eshlan.
And what were your responsibilities
that
there?
That was at Gaza.
Yeah, what were your responsibilities there?
Well, we had to look after the tents and, you know, get prepared the tents, building marquees up and all this and the other. We used to get them pitched. Don't want to get on with the natives, you know. And we had a big marquee ourselves, and there was four of us. All sitting there. There was a sergeant, and Lance Corporal. And with me, fine, I would have fought there with him, but that one I'd just leave in Gaza. I've sure they fought there. And I was only there about 6 months, like, because Al-Amin being finished then. And we woke up one morning, the sergeant says, some bugger's been pinched me bloody watch up there. That's what I said. He said, come, you used to wake up next morning and find a mark, eh, mister?
Did you ever catch any?
Eh?
Did you ever catch any? Did you ever catch any of them? Stealing?
No, catch them, by God, you couldn't. And then the native police used to come out and go through the villages, you know, and see if they could find them. Oh, they plenty left what looked up to them.
So after 6 months, did you say you were there? What happened then?
Well, then... Captain Kirk, you know, he sent for us, he says, now, Lam, he says, you've been posted home, to the home of Stab. Well, I said, I've been out here long enough, I said, I've been out here nearly about 9 years now, I said, I haven't seen one father or mother, duckies. I said, I've been out here going on for 9 years now. Well, he said, I'll tell you what, Joe, he says, he's called us, Joe. No, he says, I'll tell you what, Joe, he says, you stay here. He says, it's all over here now. He says, you stay here, you'll be all right. He says, you know what you're going back for, don't you? So I says, God, blame me. I said, I've been in dear car, right through the desert, Lord. He says, I know you went through all this and the other, but he says, it's all finished here now. And he says, you're going to go back, don't you?
But you did go back.
I said, I'll take my chance. So... Well, he says, I'm warning you, he says, stop here. He says, you'll finish up all right if you stop here, don't worry. Oh, I said, I've had enough, sir. Okay. He says, well, I've got it there. You know what you get when you leave
you
work.
You weren't?
No, what you get when you leave work. You get a...
Reference.
I got a reference there, signed one.
So then you went on to your flight home.
So then he says, right. He says, report to Cairo. As you went to Cairo and all that and find out where I was. So reported somewhere up there and I was sent for. I can't remember anything what happened then, but actually he says, right, you're going to England, you're travelling by plane. On a captured Jungle 38. I said, what? He says, there's only about 20 of you going. Officers and a couple of you. He says, you're the only Durham going. I was the only Durham. But he says, you're going by Tombag Junkers. So, I said, fine, we'll be in Blighty in 24 hours. Good. So, left Cairo. I've got the date there. You set the card there with the date on. June the 3rd, 43. I had a car there, Mr. Moses had seen it there, and everything's on it. I had it with us, well, I wasn't supposed to have, but I had it. Day and I left Cairo with a cup of chicken. First place to land, that was Khartoum. The place I'd left 3 or 4 years before to go to China. On landing, the Junkers busted one of its wheels. So they said, right, you'll have to wait for another plane. Oh, Christ. Anyway, we stayed in the barracks there. Regiment was stationed there now. We stayed there, like in the fixing up a bed and what, and get the meals. And so, leaving Lockheed Hutton. So, sets off again, Lockheed Hutton. Lands at Douala in the French Cameroons. Why, right, see, we're all seen by the devil. Are we going? We should have been blighting. So, I don't know whether we stayed in Douala 2 or 3 days or not. Then we left again. Landing in Stanley, the Belgian Congo. I said, but... So, we stayed at Stanleyville about 4 or 5 days. And, you know, the English people there, were in charge of plantations there and all this. They were staying... entertain us, invite us to the houses, and ask yourself who wanted to go to the picture hall or go to a museum. If you go to the Native Museum in Lauriston, I'd go to a dance. They used to invite us to the house and entertain us. Like, but we stayed in the hotel ourselves. Me and a lad, I was stayed in the hotel. I don't know where they are because we're young officers. So anyway, me and this lad was in the hotel. And we used to, the people used to invite us to the house and invite us on and on. And we went to a museum once in Sallyville. And all the shrunken heads that the Navy's used to shrink heads. We've seen a load of them, shrunken heads. What the natives used to do. Shrink the heads, used to kill men, shrink the heads. They were just like about that size. Real heads. Oh, made me sick.
So when, where did you fly to next then?
So, anyway, I said, right, we've been there about 4 or 5 days. So, right, leaving again. Lagos. Landed at Lagos. Oh, gee, we've been right round, I think, at my place. I said, where the devil's going on? So I said, right, this is as far as you're going by plane. You're waiting for a convoy being made up, leading from Freetown. I said, some hope to get them in Blighty. I said, we should leave them in Blighty for 24 hours. Never seen the light shift. We stayed in hotel in Lagos.
The last part of your journey was ship. The last part of your journey was by ship.
The last part was by convoy. We were making up a convoy. And then we went... Reported right to convoy, then by boat, went down to the docks. I don't know where to travel from that. From Lagos, where to travel from. I suppose we'd go from Lagos by truck or something like that. But well, anyway, landed Freetown or where it was. And right, Highland Monarch going on. All our clique on the Highland Monarch. Well, Highland Monarch, I can remember that. From old days, that used to be a meat boat. It used to be a service meat boat, travelling between Australia and England. Regular meat boat, travelling. So, I was going up the gangplank, and I just landed on the deck. And all of a sudden, over the tannoy, well, Mr. Lamb and Mr. So-and-so report to the captain, please. Oh, dear me, I says, what have I done now? What have I done now? So... There was a chap happened to spot us like, he says, by the way, you're Mr. Lamb, you're Mr. Yes, right, call me the captain's cabin. So we went down to the captain's cabin and he says, right. Now he says, I've got a job for you two. You're going to be my runners on this. You're going to be my, more or less, orderlies to go. Any, I might want you to go and find some officer, some official, maybe the chief engineer, somebody like that. On this boat, whenever I want them, you've got to go and find them. Now, he said, your job now, before we sail, is to, this chap here will take you right round the ship. I don't care how long it takes you, but you've got to know every inch of the ship. It wasn't a big ship, it was just all day. It was a Highland Monarch, it was called, I'll never forget his name. So, right, so we did. Right down to the engine room, right down to the bottom, engine room right over. Officer's quarters and whatnot.
So that was your job on the ship, for your journey?
That was our job. So I went back to the office, to his office. And there was an officer, and there was two bunks in for us. One for each. Now he says, you can just split the hours up yourselves, but there's none of, one of you always got to be in this here, and the phone's there. If that phone's ringing, I'm not here, you've got to answer it. Look at the things. Now he says you can take your turns. You can take 4 hours off, 2 hours off, and 2 hours on, anyway, whichever way you like during the day. And then in the meantime, you can go on a walk around the deck or something like that if you want to. Or just have a sit and yab at each other and everything. But one of you all must be on your duty. Don't forget it.
And
he said, instead, another thing, your meals will be brought here for you. Your meals will be brought here for you. So that was my job on the ship all the way to England.
Where did you land in England?
We landed in Liverpool. And when we arrived at Liverpool, by the way, when we did get on the Highland Monarch, we listened to ourselves, we had a big bunch of bananas. And they took them down the engine and they hung them up for when we got to Blighty. By the time we got to Liverpool, it was about half an hour left.
What date would that be that you arrived in Liverpool?
Oh, I couldn't say, but I'll have all the dates ready. Are you coming again? I'll have them all told down in my records there when I arrived in England. I'll have them all ready for you. The same as I got that ready for you, see?
And did you go and leave as soon as you arrived?
So, anyway, we landed at Liverpool and I got a warrant and a warrant for, I think it was for Newcastle, I'm not sure, or Durham, but it must be. So we got a train, we had to change at York, and I remember changing at York, and I had some bananas left when I got to York, and I was back down and said, where are you getting this, darling? So, Brown and all this near it, just myself this time, because the other lad went somewhere else. And happened to live in Gateshead, down Askew Road area then, away from where I'm living now, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I pulled into Newcastle Central Station. So I says, I had to report to Bransford Castle, like, which is a depot, Bransford. But I said, bugger Bransford, I'm going to have a couple of days at home. So 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll knock them up at home, like. I got a taxi over and